Okay, we're picking up from the second to last line on Pei Beis Amud Beis with the words of Esive. Our learning is once again sponsored by the Neshama Shulamis Bas Yaakov, as well as Rachel Bas Yosef Tzvi. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. So the Gemara again was discussing the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan told us in the Ikka D'Amri was that they asked of Rabbi Yochanan, a person was Nadra Mishteki Karos, and one of them she would be afflicted by not eating it because it was good bread, as the Ram pointed out. And one of them, it doesn't affect her, she wasn't planning on that bread because it's very stale, not healthy bread anyway. So the Gemara asked, what's the halacha? And Rabbi Yochanan was of the opinion that you could be mefer half of the neder. She can be mefer, the husband is able to be mefer the neder that she's afflicted by, but does not, and that would not subsequently remove the neder that she was not afflicted by. That was the machlokes. Shmuel says that the idea of mitoch, that was machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel. So the Gemara has a kashino esve on Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi in the Ikud Amri, who posed the question on Rabbi Yochanan, he has the question on Rabbi Yochanan from the Mishnah in Nazir. Ha'isha shenadra bin Nazir. So a woman made a neder that she's going to be a nazira. V'haisa shosa yayin metal lemeisin, and she completely, intentionally decided to drink wine and go to the kivri meisim, and she was metame herself. Hareza sofegas arbaim. So the halacha is she is chayev malkus midareisa. Now, obviously, this is obvious, so we just need to mention, the Gemara actually points this out, that this is obvious in Nazir. Over here, the Gemara doesn't ask it because we're just mentioning the Raya from the Hemshech, but the Gemara points out this is obvious. We just want to mention it for the Hemshech of the Mishnah, for the following. However, Hefer Labaila, if the husband had revoked her neder, so now Mikana Lahaba, she no longer is Nazira, vi lo yada Shefer, she did not know that it was revoked, Vaisa shows some Atal Mesa, but she thought she was violating an Issa de Raisa every time, Enosa Vegas Eshar, Baim, she would not receive Malkus Medaraisa, even though she thinks she's violating an Isser. However, since she technically wasn't, she's not going to be Chayav Malkus Medaraisa. The Gemara does point out that she would be Chayav Malkus Medarabanan for the fact that she thought she was an Azir. They warned her to sit in Azir and didn't realize she wasn't. She said, Alfal Pichen, and she does it. And then afterwards, we find out that really the husband had really revoked the neder earlier. She would be Chayav Malkus Medarabanan. And not only that, also the Pasuk of Hashem Yislach La, she needs Kapara Medaraisa, that the Gemara learns out is talking about this very case. Hashem Yislach La in a case where she makes a neder and the husband revokes it and she didn't know about it, she still does need a kapara. We mentioned earlier this drasha, actually, that this drasha seems to be contradicting the when we had the psukim about Yosef Atzadik, when it says Yosef tells the brothers, we just read it 2 weeks ago, Halukim, you guys thought Atem chashavtem mara v'alukim chash v'latova, that you guys had in mind to do me very bad. However, Hashem thought it was going to be good. I'm going to be saving everybody, I'm giving everybody food, and it's all good, and everything is fine, and then you're not going to be punished. So says the Orach Chaim HaKadosh, has a kasha, imshat, I don't understand. How is that okay? We know from the Gemara over here that we're quoting, really, the Gemara is really Beikaran and Nazir, that if a person thinks he's violating an Isser, he certainly is going to be punished. He certainly is going to be punished. So Shechter always asks this question, I forgot who he quotes, I don't remember, maybe it was Chassam Zofar, but I've quoted this before, and Rav Shechter answers that based on Achronim, he's quoting on Achronim, that really there's a fundamental difference between Bein Adam Lamakom and Bein Adam Lachavero. Bein Adam Lachavero is result-oriented. Even if you had mind to do something bad to your friend, but it ended up being the best thing in the world for him, so then you're not going to be punished for such a Maisa Be'etzim, if you didn't harm him at all, meaning he doesn't realize any of this. You had in mind to harm him completely and do something to him, and then incidentally something ended up amazing happening. He doesn't realize that you intended to harm him, and it ended up being amazing for him. Says the Achronim that you're not going to be punished. That's what we see from the story of Yosef, that Bein Adam Lachavero is a result-oriented mitzvah, as opposed to Bein Adam Lamakom, that is it's called Rachman Aliva by Hashem wants us, right? He wants our hearts. That's called our kavana is a mainstay of doing that mitzvah, and therefore one will be punished even if he has bad kavanas. So the question is, how far do we take this drasha? Sefer Knesset Yecheskel, very near and dear to me, because actually written by my mother's great uncle, who was a very big Talmud Chacham, is a chavrusa of the Ben Ish Chai, and the Kaf HaChaim. So he asks a question. He deals with this question, a very fascinating one: is how far do we take this idea that a person who thought they were doing an Isser is really going to be punished like they did an Isser? He says the following question: what happens if a woman thinks she's being mezana, and the man she thinks mezana also thinks there? So she thinks Reuven is married to Sarah. Sarah is cheating on Reuven with Shimon. So now Shimon and Sarah are together, and they're cheating on, and they were having a relationship out of wedlock. That's an Isser D'Oraisa. She'd be chayav, right? Misa, if there was a Beis Din, she has in mind all this time, and her husband was away on a trip. She finds out subsequently that the husband really had died a month earlier. The husband had when he already went out to sea, he died. So she really was not mezanah. She was not over Eishes Ish at all. But both her and the mezanah Shimon both thought they were being mezanah. So the shaila is the following. We know that now she wants to marry Shimon, and there's normally an Isser Dereisa that we learn now, Kishim Shasur Labal, Kashur Labal, then Isser Soto. Soto cheats on her wife, meaning anyone who is out of who cheats on her husband is going to be usher to remain with her husband, and just like she's usher to remain with her husband, she's also usher to remain with the person she cheated on. With that person also, who she cheated on with, she's also usher. So what about over here in this case? A fascinating question is, there's a machlokas aposkim about this. What about where they thought they were cheating on each other, but they weren't, because it came out that really Reuven had died earlier? Do we still say that she should be usher to Shimon because he had the wrong intention or not? So I want to bring this right over here. So I want to bring this gemara and say that we see from over here, from the fact that she is going to be that Hashem Yisachla, you need to be punished. So then maybe we should assume that really is like you violated a full-fledged Isser, and she should remain Usser Tim. And the Sefer continues with two other, I think, fascinating questions along similar lines. Let's say a guy cooks on Shabbos Midareisa B'mezin. He was warned about it, he cooks B'mezin. And all of a sudden, 20 minutes later, what happens is a Chola Sheish B'sakana comes and needs that exact food. Is he still going to be considered over an Isser Dereisa or not? Fascinating question, because your Maisa Isser was done, you were warned about it, but it came out afterwards, retroactively, that really the guy needs it, and it was a Chola Sheish B'sakana who you would have been allowed to cook it for, and he needs that exact food, are you over an Isser Dereisa? And he says, even a third one, a very interesting one also, is that I had in mind to steal your Lulav and Esrog. So I went to your house and I stole it. And really, you were mochel abel shalom. You gave it to me, though. You knew that I was coming in, and you said, "Oh, he's coming in. I'll give it to him." All these two cases are mayotza the mitzvah. It's a fascinating thing because we see that bein adam lamakom is be'etzem something which is dependent also on your machshava. So how far does this go, your machshava? Does your machshava uproot the actual, what actually in Matzias is happening? Or do we assume that no, it's like you never did the mitzvah of lulav and esrog, it's like you violated an Isser Dereisa Shabbos, we don't view it as that you're gonna be off the hook because there was a chol Isser Dereisa, and similar with a woman, she should be usher to husband. This is a machlokas aposkin, they go back and forth about it based on our Gemara, really be current, it's the Gemara in Nazir, but the quotation comes from the Gemara over here. Fascinating discussion in the poskim. But let's go back to our topic again. So she's not going to be Chayav Malkus. So now the Gemara asks the question. Again, we're assuming that if she doesn't know that her husband had revoked it, she's not going to be Chayav Malkus. So says the Gemara now, V'i armers mefer lemisane v'ein mefer l'she'ein misane. Now, if you're going to tell me that when a woman makes a neder to prohibit two things, one of which she is able to, the husband's able to revoke, and the second which she's, that doesn't affect her, the husband's not able to, so then the halacha should be Dilma mina yayin to isle tzara heferla. Perhaps in the case of Nazirus, he's going to only remove her neder in regards to the wine, because that's going to be discomfort for her. However, mina chartzon mina zag lo eferla. But who cares if the grape seeds and the grape skin, that's not going to affect her. She doesn't need that. She doesn't want it. So therefore, that should be chal da lo isle tzara. Because abstaining from these things, as we pointed out, it doesn't matter. Who cares that she doesn't have these things? V'tisbog is our barman. Therefore, if she decides to, in fact, eat the zag and the chartzon, she should be chaya malkus. Which is clearly not the case. Meaning that we know that's not the case. So the halacha of Dilma, the Gilyan Rashas points out, Rabbi Kivager, that the Dilma over here doesn't really mean that it's Dilma. Rather, we're saying for sure that she should be Chayav Malkus. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, and we seem to assume that that's not the case, that you wouldn't be Chayav Malkus. So I saw a very nice question that I heard him. The Prima Gadim, he brings down his Psicha Kolalos. Rav Schechter is a huge fan of the he always says it. The Psicha Kolalos of the Prima Gadim officially, it's his Hagdama to Orach Chaim. But Rav Schechter always says that, he always recommends that we learn it because it's very much Rav Schechter's style. It's ideas and everything. And he says Hagdama to Torah Shabbal Peh. It's the whole Masor, how everything is transferred over. How do we have, what are the Kolalim of all halachas and gemaras and everything? So it's a guide to Torah Shabbal Peh. So over there, he brings down a concept. Rav Yosef Engel made it, I think, more famous a little bit later, is that there's a concept called the Siag Deoresa, that the Torah itself will, Mideoresa, put a Siag, a fence around a Torah itself law. We know that generally, that Takanas Derabanan are supposed to be Susiag L'Dvecha, right? That the whole idea of a Takanas Derabanan is to make a fence around the Lachas of Deoresa, right? We don't want a person to, whatever it might be, swim on Shabbos because you come to build a raft and then violate Nisra Deoresa. Every Takanas Derabanan, a person's not supposed to carry a shofar because we're afraid he's going to bring a tabakin. That's all to avoid Isser Dereisa. The whole idea of the Tekanah Zerabanan is to prevent a person from violating an Isser Dereisa. So Rav Yosef Engel was Mechadish in Gilyone Hashas, not the Gilyone Hashas occurred before, that's Rabbi Kiviger, Gilyone Hashas, Rav Yosef Engel, he's Mechadish that there's a concept called Siag Dereisa. That, and he brings this as one of his examples. Maybe also the idea of chametz, of Vali Rabbi Matzah, he thinks maybe it's the real Iker didn't deraisa, to eat chametz. But we have a siag deraisa, not even to have in your possession, lest you come to eat it. So, and he brings this as another example, a nazir. The idea of the Iker point is that he shouldn't have wine. So we make midaraisa, there's an iser deraisa to have the grape skin and also the grape seeds. Both those things are going to be usher, lest he come to have the actual grapes. So they ask the kasha on that assumption based on the Gemara's Hanacha over here. So how could it be, if the whole idea that this was a siag, that this is only a secondary thing that comes out of the Iker Isser Dereisa, which is wine, so even according to Rabbi Yochanan, if you got rid of the whole Iker Isser, which is the yain itself, so then pasha that there should be no Isser to have the Zag and the Chartzan. It should be pasha that should fall away. That's a very strong kasha, I thought, from this Gemara, that they think maybe this isn't an example of siag, it's just a Xeris HaKasa, that also you can't have Chartzan, you can't have Zag either. A very interesting question, nonetheless, on that concept. So now back to the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef wants to answer this question. He says, "Ein Naziros Lechatzain." There's a concept that we don't say that there's a, you can't have a half-fledged Naziros. That when she made a neder that she's a Nazira, all the lachas of Naziros took effect to her. Both those that are going to be Inui Nefesh and those that are not necessarily, meaning the Chartzan and the Zag, are going to, those apply just as much as not drinking wine. So when her husband says that your neder is going to be Hafara, all the Nazir's prohibitions are going to be removed, and that's why she's Usser when that comes about to eat the Chartzan and the Zag. However, when it comes to the case where she made a neder from the two loaves, there, since one loaf can be Usser without the other, they're considered two separate Nedarim in that Halacha. Another way of explaining it, the Brisker Rav has this two ways to explain it. He has the tight section. He thinks the machluk is the Ran and the Rambam. Another way of explaining it, very brisker takasikadiyak, like it's three dinim. He says another way to explain it is that Rav Yosef's answer is that there's no Nazirus halfway, meaning there's no such thing as a chalos of Nazirus, a state of Nazirus, which only the Chartz and the Zag can exist without the Isser's applying. So therefore, even though the husband Hafara works only for the part of the Naziros, which is the Inui Nefesh. However, the part of the grape seeds and the grape skin would b'meila come out because they cannot stand on its own. And he explained that it actually might not be enough. I mean, I don't have time to get into the whole briskara, but it's a nice piece. He has a shtickle Torah on the Rambam like this, and he thinks it's a machlokas, the Rambam and the Ran, whether the two ways we just said it, that there's two ways to explain it, those two ways might be machlokas, the Ran and Rambam. So now the Gemara asks a question. Amalei Abaye. Abaye has a question of Yosef. Hop, korban lechatzin is Zira Sika. According, he implied on what you're saying, it sounds like there should be a concept of a korban and half an Aziris. What was implied, as the Ran points out, Bismiyad, the Kamar ain Naziris lechatzan. You said there's no concept of Naziris, a halfway Naziris. V'lo Kamar ain chatzan Naziris. You didn't use Lashon that there is no chetzi of Naziris. So mashmeh, we can be medayek, we can imply from your Lashon that ben Naziris atzmo the lake of chatzan. I'm reading the Ran now inside, that the Naziris itself, there is no half Naziris. However, the Korban, there should be a chatzan Naziris. How do you have that example? As the Rana points out further, an example that she made an neder to be Naziris for 30 days. She counted 15 days, and we know that the husband uproots the neder. He doesn't go back l'mafreya. That's the difference between hafara and hatara. That's even ma'akev the lashon. That the hafara is only from now of the next 15 days. So the first 15 days were chal. She kept Naziris for those 15 days. So they're not moved on. So maybe you're going to tell me that you should bring a korban based on those 15 days. So therefore, Abaye rejects the statement of Yosef. El Amar Abaye, ein Naziros lechatzin, ein korban lechatzin. Just as there's no half-fledged Naziros, so too there's also no idea that you can bring half the korbanos on half of the days either, the days that she counted. Only on a Naziros Shlema would we be able to have Minyan Naziros Shalem, would you be able to have a korban for the Naziros? So the Gemara has a kasha, Meisive, they have a question on Abaye from a Braisa. The Braisa says, Haisha shenadra b'nazir v'frisha behemta. A woman who made a neder of Naziros, and then she became Tamei Meis, and she set aside her animals for her tumah. V'achakach hefer l'bayla. And after that, her husband had removed the neder. He does hafaras nadarim. So the halacha is a nazir who has tuma. So you lose all the days that the nazir already counted, and not only that, you have to undergo a new purification process. You have to bring three different karbanis. You have to bring two ofos, right? Torah b'nei Yonah, and one chatas and one ola, and asham as well. So then, when you finish the second count, you bring again the kvasim and also you bring what else? You bring also bring a ram at the end of the nazirus. So that's the case over there. So now we're talking about she did do her nazirus partially, and then she became tame, and she separated the shtei ofos and also a keves for her korban. Before she could offer them, the husband had removed the neder by doing a faris nadarim. So the halacha is, what does she do? The Braisa tells us, mevia chatas ha'of. She brings the chatas, the bird chatas, ve'ena mevia ola sa'of. However, she does not bring the ola bird and the asham. Meaning, even though she designated all her tumah korbanos before, still she does not bring the asham or the ola. She brings only the chatas. So says the Gemara, vi amars ein korban lachatz nezirus. So fleshing out our kash and abaye, and if you tell me there is no korbanos for half of a nezirus, amai mevia chatas ha'of. Why should she bring the chatas ha'of if one doesn't bring a korban for half a nezirus, because half of the nezirus is not considered nezirus at all? So why would she bring a korban having become tamei during that period? So that lachor, that does, it's all about the function of becoming tameh is removing the nazirus. So then, in a sense, every tumah is brought half a nazirus, but still, it's because you're going to be continuing into a new nazirus. Do we let you bring those karmanos? Here, she's not considered bringing a new term because her husband had done afara. So therefore, we shouldn't allow her to bring the chatas ha'of either. So what do we see? Vela yesh ma'ay yesh korban l'chatz nezirus. So what are you going to counter? Meaning this seems to imply against Abaye that there is a concept of half of a nezirus. Sholosh be'emas bay lasuya. Then she should be required to bring three different korbanos. Chatas olo shlamim. According to you, that had she not become tamei, she would have been required to bring these korbanos. That's the halacha when you finish nezirus. Accordingly, in the case of the Braisa, where she did become tamei, and she'd be required to bring all three of these, and that's not the case. So why then are we telling you that she brings only a chatas olof? That's one way the Ran wants to explain it. The Ran gives another explanation that maybe even though she became Tamei, she still would be required to bring these three korbanos because that's the idea of it would be similar to the lachas of someone who did the nazirus in the full 15 days and who had not become Tamei. Since the husband, again, is not Lamafreya uprooting her neder, so what comes out is those 15 days should have counted, and those they should be valid days of nazirus, and she should bring a korbanos for those 15 days, and we know that that's not the case. So why are you bringing only a chatas of? So therefore, elul olam ein korban lachatz nezirus. So rather, we're assuming, like Abaye had said, meaning Abaye rejects his answer, this kasha, and he says that really there is no concept of a sacrifice that's brought for half a nezirus. However, chatas of, why do you bring chatas of? The ma'isa mishum the chatas ala safik, because a person is able to bring a chatas even for a case of doubt. We know that when, for example, the famous case is a woman who is a yoledes. A yoledes, she is not allowed to bring in to be eating kachim until she brings unless she brings an ola and a chatas. So the question is, what happens if she miscarried and you can't tell whether it was a safek of vlad or a safek if it was like maya baba, if it just looked like it didn't have a tzuras of vlad? That was a shayla. If it's a tzuras of vlad, then she really is tamei leidan. She needs to bring this korban. If it's not, then she's not allowed to bring this korban. So the halacha, what's she supposed to do? So with regards to an ola, she can make a t'nai that if I did give birth, this is going to be an ola, and it's my ola that's going to be able to bring my korbanola. Now I'm allowed to eat kachim. So when it comes to a chatas though, so then you're not allowed to bring it al t'nai. So what do you do? Because generally it's usher to bring a thing that's a chiyuv to be a t'nai. So you're otherwise because you have a shayla. So what are you supposed to do over here? So here we learn out from Sukkim that when it comes to chatas of, that's an exception to this rule, and really she is allowed to bring it even though generally you're not allowed to make a chatas al tanai, since bringing the chatas is treated with this special kula. So then we're also going to assume in the case of nazirus as well, the Ran points out that you'd be allowed to make this special tanai as well. So if that would be the case, the Ran also points out that wouldn't be enough to tell us that should be mechayev her to bring the chatas ha'of, since half the nazirus is considered like no nazirus at all. So why is it that she brings it? So the Gemara in Nazir, the Ran quotes this, other Rishonim Tosos quote this, that the Gemara in Nazir tells us that this brace is really according to the shita of Rabbi Lazar. But Lazar is of the shita that when it comes to Nazir, it's always a sin. because you're mafresh from the world. Hashem gave you these things, and you're like, who are you? You have to come and make you're supposed to have wine for holy things, right? And you come and you make this neder, so it was a sin to become a nazir. It's a machlokas tonight, whether that's the case or not. So over here, so since these halachas we're making with the chatas of and she violated a sin, so the two together, we would allow you to bring this chatas al tonight. So now the Gemara goes back again. So now, that was all a side point. When it comes to halachas of Nazir, we bring in the Nazir, really, and the halachas of Abaye. Now the Gemara goes back to ask Akasha and Rabbi Yochanan. Esivir, Ravasi goes back to ask Akasha and Rabbi Yochanan from a Braisa. Ha'isha shen raja b'nazir v'nitbe. So a woman who made a neder of Nazir is now the second half of the Mesa, is talking about when she became Tame. V'achakach hefer labayla, and her husband had removed the neder for her. Mevi'a chata sa'of. The halacha is that she brings a chata sa'of. V'eina be'avia ola sa'of. But she does not bring the ola sa'of. So her husband had removed the neder, and therefore, since she doesn't have to have the zero, she doesn't have to bring an ola. The chatas is brought because that's as we explained that when the obligation is questionable, since we follow Rabbi Lazar and you're allowed to bring a chatas in general al tanai, so then we allow her to bring we tell her that she should bring the chatas off. V'yamart mefer lamisanev ein mefer l'shein misanev. Now, if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan and you assume that when a woman makes the iser, the two things, one bread and one bread was bad for her, she makes the neder, one bread that was good for her, she makes the neder, you can only be made for the one that was going to be healthy for her to eat, but the other one still remains usher to her. So now the Gemara asks, turning on to the next time now, to pay Gimel and Beis, Dilma miyayin the islay tzara hefiler, mitumas mislay tzara hefila. So now it's a similar question to what we're asking before with regards to the wine and the zog, but here's different. We're dividing the two issers of Nazira. When it comes to Nazira, she's usher also to be metame lame. She's also usher of the yayin. So maybe, granted, okay, inoy nefesh of the yayin, the husband's allowed to do hafari, he's allowed to remove it. However, what about the halachas of tumas meis? Maybe that's not considered something which is inoy nefesh, and therefore it should be something that the husband does not have the ability to remove, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and we should assume that she should be usher, remain usher to be metame lame. That's what we're asking. Again, this is a questionable on the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. So now, a very interesting question that the Achronim and Rishonim are dealing with is, why doesn't the Gemara give the same answer they said before? There's no Ein Nazirus L'Chatzayim. So the Gemara, the reason that you can't give this answer, they explain, is that because we do see that there's a concept of Nazirus where a Nazir can be Metame L'Meis. What is that? That's Nazirus Shimshon when we get to Mesach Hashem. Mesach HaZarim coming up in just a week's time. We're going to be up to Maseches Nazir. So there we're going to see that there's a concept called Nazirus Shimshon. Nazirus Shimshon is a Nazir for life. However, you're allowed to be Metame L'Meis. There's a Mishnah Nazir at the very beginning. We're going to learn in Daf Dalet very, very, very early on. We're going to learn about that Isser is not linked to other Nazirus. So therefore here, we can't answer Ein Nazirus L'Chatzayim. So that's why the Gemara couldn't give that answer. So while I'm wondering the question, we're going to give a different answer over here. Amre, so what are the answer? No, really, Tumas Meis Nami Islay Tzara. Really, you're right. That according to Biyochanan, you should have been able to keep the Isser of the Tuma aspect of her Nazirus, and she should have remained a Nazir in regards to not becoming Tamala Meis for the duration of her Neder. However, the idea of her not going to become Tamala Meis is itself also considered a Tzara for her. Is a strain on her physical comfort. Why? Let's read the whole pasuk. The pasuk in Koheles, Perek Zayin, pasuk Beis tells us, "Tov alecha." It's a pretty famous pasuk. "Tov alecha so beis avim alecha so beis amishta." It's better to go to a shiva house than go to a chasana. Why? Kasher husov kol adam, because a person is going to take into account what is life all about. You think about it, you really do think when you go to shiva, you really think about the purpose of life a lot more. A lot of people are by tshuva when they're rachman al tzad, they lose a parent because they recognize that the life is short. You know, you don't live forever, and you know, you have to connect to God sooner rather than later. V'chayitin alibo, and a person shall take this to heart. V'tani will learn a brisa. And Rabbi Meir Omer, Maya Dichsiv V'chayitin alibo. But what's the meaning of the pasuk when it says that the person who's living should take it to heart? What is he taking to heart? That the following, that you should go be nice to others because they're going to in fact be nice to you. That someone who eulogizes the dead, others are going to eulogize you. They're going to see that you're a nice guy. And also the yivkun lay, and also they're going to cry over you just like you're crying over them. The yivkun yivkun lay, also you bury them. Hashem is going to reward you that you are also going to be rewarded, that they are also going to bury you as well. So that meaning a person is supposed to recognize the whole idea of Ben Adam Chavero is that we want a system of reciprocity, that we do things in this world which is good, and that we, in the hopes that also, that it's obviously not the highest level, just do it because Hashem told us to, and that we want to be good people because Hashem told us to be good people. But also on another level is to recognize that when you do good things for other people, people in turn are going to be very nice to you back. They're going to be very nice to you because they're going to remember the things that you did for them. That's what the Gemara's drasha is right here. So really the fact that she's not able to go to Lavaya, is going to affect her life. It's going to be a tsar for her in the future when she's older and people aren't going to take care of her. So that's why we want, we're able to uproot this neder as a, this is called inoy nefesh, but for that reason. It's called the tsar for her. It's called the pain for her because of this very svara. Fine. Next Mishnah. Now, Rabbi Yossi, again, this is, as I mentioned, this part of the Mishnah is according to Rabbi Yossi. Konim shani neder labrios. If she makes a neder that she's not going to benefit people, he's not able to be made for such a neder, because that's not called inu nefesh. Again, this is going to be a shita of Rabbi Yossi. However, she is able to benefit from leket shechapeh. Those are the three things, the matnos aniyam that they get from the land. The leket is the thing that fall off from the guy's hand while he's cutting the grain. That's leket. Shechra is the produce that was left behind while the person is doing, while he's gathering everything in. So if you leave one or two, that's going to be enough. Three already is considered, more than he's, the Baal HaBayis is allowed to take those. And also we have Peah is the corner of the field that was left over for the poor people. So these are the matnos aniyim. So the Mishnah is teaching us that even though this woman is usher by her neder to benefit from people, these things we're assuming is she's getting it from hefker, not from the guy himself. It's not him giving it to her. It's hefker. And therefore it's hefker laniyim. It's for the aniyim. So the Mishnah continues, Konim koyanim levim le'enuli. What about koyanim levim are not allowed to be benefiting from me? Yidlu al karcha. So the halacha is they're allowed to take truman meiser from him against his will. Even though we assume that there's a concept that it's the meiser and truma is somewhat his, the idea, why? Because he could choose who to give it to. Still, as Tosos pointed out, the Lashon Tosos, Tuvas ana ina maman. The idea at the end of the day, Tuvas ana, the right to choose Reuven over Shimon, that's not considered real benefit of money. So therefore, the koyanim can take it against that guy as well because they're allowed to benefit in this case. And we see that in the Lachos above Metzia, that you're not allowed to transfer the Tuvas Ana of the fact that the Trumas and Meisers were yours. You're not allowed to transfer it just to someone else even in some forms of Kenyan, because it's not really Mammon that you can be passed on. So we see that it's not Mammon like Tosos was pointing out. What if you say, you specify only this coin and that coin, so you do leave the option open for other Kohanim to get it, so then the Mishnah says, you're right, that case would work. Yidlo Acherim, that you're allowed to say, Reuven the coin and Shimon the coin, I really hate them, they're not making a neder, they're not allowed to be neder from my Chuma Meiser, so the lacha is, the neder would in fact be Chal, and you would be allowed to prevent them from taking. Because in that case, other Kohanim are able to take. So now, the Gemara asks, Alma Esher de Mitzah Medilei. So from the fact that the Mishnah does not consider the neder to ask herself from benefiting from people, we see that it's possible in our case for her to sustain herself from the husband himself. So the Gemara says, Michlal de Baal, Lav Bechal Briyosu. So that implies that the husband is not included in terms of people, because she is going to be Nene from the husband in this Havamina. You could ask the question, the Ran asked this question, is that if she's ushered to benefit from all people, it also should be considered a problem when her husband is not in the neder. Because what is it that she's permitted to benefit from the property of her husband when she's ushered to everyone else in the world? The Mishnah told us when she asks herself only from one storekeeper, the husband lend on credit, who get from credit, even that case is called inu nefesh. So what's the difference between the two cases? So the Ran answers, you have to see, when we say konem piros chen v'delai, she's asking all the fruit in the world from this short storekeeper. That was the inu nefesh. However, when it comes to our case, she was just benefiting from people, not their fruit. So the husband can go to the people, and he can bring it to her, and then that would be okay. That's why it's not called inu nefesh. So that's what the Ran answers. So the Gemara says, ima sifa, but let's look at the second part of the Mishnah, which says, yechala lehenos b'leket shechara peya. She is able to benefit from leket shechara peya. Aval medabal lo achla. What that implies, though, that why would she be allowed to eat leket shechara peya if the husband was providing for her? She's not poor. The husband has money to support her. So that implies that she's not allowed to eat from the husband. That's why she's allowed to eat leket shechara peya. Alma baal b'chlal briyos. So we see from over here, the husband is included in the term of people. So Amar Ulas Ula answers this by saying, La'olam lav b'chal b'riyosu. Rather, the husband is not included in terms of people. And that itself is the reason that the neder is not going to be able to be mufar. However, v'od ene achal efer mivnei shechol enos b'leka shechapeya. And the Mishnah means to say an additional reason to this is that there's another reason the husband cannot be made for the neder, because she's able to have leka, shecha, and peya. Meaning that according to this understanding, the main reason that the husband is not able to be made for the neder is because he's not included in the term of people. So therefore, he's able to provide from her, from his property. So, however, this would not be the case, though, if the husband is poor and he can't support her. So what are you going to answer for that? So then the Mishnah is telling us that, no, even in that case, where let's say he is poor, Liatzir is poor, so the Mishnah is answering, even if he is poor, she's able to collect like a shechan peah from the fields. So the Gemara was assuming that would be the case. Rava says differently. Rava Amar, no, l'olam baal b'chlal b'riyosu. Really, the husband is included in the term of people. And she's also to that benefit from the property of her husband as well. Uma tam kamar. The Mishnah is saying, its second statement is giving the reason for the first statement of the Mishnah. Ma tam inechavar. What's the reason that he cannot remove the neder? Kasher, because Neshechola Enas Belek Hashem Peya, because she is able to benefit from Lek Shecha and Peya, and therefore Rav is saying that although the Mishnah does not say its second statement with a reason of that this is the reason, the Matam, that this is the reason, but really it means to be saying that reason. So that was Rav seems to be saying over here. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman Amar Lolam Baal Lapach Al Priyasud. Rav Nachman says, the husband is not included in the term of people. So the reason that the neder is not able to be mufar, according to Rav Nachman, is that we're assuming that the beginning that she would be usher to benefit from her husband, the neder would in fact be inu nefesh. So this is what the Mishnah is telling us. If she subsequently gets divorced, then she'd be able to be neder from lech hashem peah, meaning while she's married to the husband, pashut, the husband's going to be supporting her. But once she gets divorced, she's no longer with her husband, so then she's going to be usher to the rest of the people in the world. So then she'd be allowed to be deriving benefit from lech hashem peah, according to Rav Nachman. Okay, Hashem will pick up with Esivei Rav Nachman, Mirat Hashem, tomorrow's daf.